You ever have your ringer set too loud?
Oh, yeah.
This is actually something I'm very self-conscious about.
It's very, very terrifying when it's very loud.
But my thing is, like, how did it get that loud?
Yeah. Like, my computer rings when my phone does.
Mm. Yeah,
and
same.
It's the most embarrassing thing to me.
Hands down.
Yeah.
But my thing, like, for example, this morning, my alarm went off at an obnoxious rate.
Makes me furious.
By the way, I was already awake. I'm old enough to where I wake up before my alarm.
Mm. Wow.
It's an age thing.
Yeah.
You guys will get there. When it went off, which I was prepared for it to go off, it went off at a volume that, first of all, I got a kid in between me and Julia.
Yep.
Somehow that happened. I'm like, panicky because I'm like, I don't want that guy to wake up. I need this hour and a half is my favorite hour of the day. Uninterrupted, not another human up in my house. I need this time.
Truly.
I need this time.
Yes.
And now I'm like, ah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Why are you so loud?
Did they wake up?
No, thankfully.
Good.
Thankfully. What's so funny is now I'm like, slowly, quietly getting out of bed as if a fire truck wasn't just in our home 7 seconds ago.
What?
Okay, I have to ask you this question.
Oh, not an actual fire truck.
That's
it. Right, just move on. It's fine.
That's a disappointment. Right there. That right there is going to keep you right there.
Sorry, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't actually
Wait,
know.
Wait, fire trucks?
I was like, huh?
Wait, you guys watch Stranger Things?
It's so good.
Dude, are we recording?
We could just go on, couldn't we?
Let's go.
I have to know. Is Julia as quiet as you are getting up?
Julia walks around the house in such a determination. That you would think we're storming Normandy.
Yeah.
We're going into battle.
Yep.
When she walks, it's on purpose.
Doesn't matter what time.
No, it's on purpose, man. Sometimes she just wakes me up when she walks back in the room to go to bed.
Yes.
I'm just like, we're on mission, huh? Aren't we? Yeah. Oh, hey, that's just, you know, certain people walk with, you know, and she claims that I do the same. I feel like I'm as delicate as a mouse.
Very intentional.
Yeah, I'm you know, I'm a quiet church guy, but Julia walks with purpose, man. She's a leader. What can I say?
Yeah,
she's not a leaner, but she is a leader. Let's go. Oh, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean back. Yeah, you don't have to lean back because we're leaning in. We're leaning into the subject of leadership. We're talking about becoming great leaders. Thank you to every person, by the way, that likes and subscribes to our YouTube or to our podcast, whichever stream you choose. Choose your own adventure. But I do want to encourage you, if you've yet to subscribe to our podcast, hit the subscribe button right now. In fact, leave us a comment. Let us know where you are watching or listening from and leave a review. It helps us so much. I think we got, Nate Dog, you were just telling me, we got some comments from this last pod or also known as an episode.
Yes, we did. We asked people, where are you joining us from?
Yeah, where'd they,
and what you're excited for. So we have someone here, and they said this. I mainly watch on YouTube, and I'm from Alabama.
Shout out to the YouTube. Oh, Alabama. Let's go, sweet home.
And it has a bunch of likes on the comment.
Let's go.
Very cool.
Now, that could be in Mobile. That could be in Montgomery. That could be in, you know, of course, Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. I went for the first time this summer.
God, I love Alabama.
It's so much more green than I thought.
I vacation there every summer. Keep going.
Okay, you might have forgot about this state. Watching from Rhode Island.
Wow.
I did not forget about Rhode Island. Let me just say that right now.
No.
I think about it often. Shout out to Jordan Boyce and Awakening.
Yes.
Shout out to my friend Cole Swider, who plays for the Heat. He's from Rhode Island. Shout out to my friend, the great Will Bennett, has a house in Rhode Island. And also on the news as of late, Taylor Swift has an amazing house in Rhode Island, and Colin Coward lives 10 doors down from Taylor Swift and just got robbed. So, no, Rhode Island, you are not forgotten. Keep going.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm a big, take me to Providence right now.
That was
I feel like I just got, I went to school right there.
Oh, I went to Providence every year for years. I'm a big, big Rhode Island fan.
I love this.
Okay, here's, listen to this next one. We announced we're going to be doing merch for episode 150.
Yeah, 150. We're at 146 today. Keep going.
Super excited about the merch. Maybe Pastor Chad should also release some music after that song.
I'm going to do it. Wow. I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to do it. By the way, you know, I revealed that I play piano on tables and sing 90s classic hits, but I've got a whole mixtape coming out this year.
Ooh.
Some of my spoken word content, a little bit of my poetry.
I am Barabbas. So,
yeah. So,
yep, I get it.
Went there.
Throwback. It's such a great recall. It's I am Barabbas. That was such a hit, dude.
It was so good.
Did he win a Grammy off that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
That was all, that was unbelievable.
Yes.
Crazy.
We got one more. Someone says that they're a leaner all the way from the Caribbean.
Is it the Caribbean or the Caribbean?
Pirates, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, well, shout out. We're a global podcast. Everybody knows that about us. Everybody knows.
Huge nation.
We are a nation. It's a small tribe of nations, but we are the leaners.
Yeah.
And we're making merch that says, I'm a leaner. Put it in the comment if you're a leaner. I'm a leaner. I'm proud to be a leaner. I'm part of the committee, but I drink the Kool-Aid. I'm just speaking out of the overflow here, but you know who's changing the game?
Mm.
Overflow.
Yes.
I can't emphasize it enough. By the way, now has the ability that tap technology to give.
Oh, so cool.
We got to get on this, Nate Dogg. Yep. We got to get on it. Nevertheless, Overflow, if you're a church leader, you got to get involved with them. They have made it so easy for anyone to give stock or crypto and creative strategic ways to be generous in the church. They are generous people, by the way. By far some of the most generous people that I know. Nate, tell us, what do we need to know about Overflow?
Well, this is really cool, too. They're not just sticking with churches. They've worked with Golden State Warriors, massive organizations.
That's right.
If you want to give, this is the place to do it.
Overflow.co/LLI
and set up a demo and to work with their team.
Shout out to Vance. Shout out to my little sister, Bethany.
That's right.
Shout out to Overflow and, lastly, Jonas. I love that crew. Let's get back to the pod. Today, we're talking together about becoming a better follower.
I love it.
The thing about being a leader that is so exciting and so interesting is that you're out front, you're leading. But I've always found that the best leaders are even greater followers. In fact, if you're not a good follower, I'd submit you're not a good leader. Mm. Because all of your leadership comes from how good of a follower you are. It's how I see authority, to be honest.
Mm.
How could I ever be someone that leads with great authority if I'm not myself under authority? Mm. Submission would be the same thing, right? In a marriage, so important. I don't ever ask Julia to submit to me, but I don't submit to her. Mutual submission.
Right.
I think this is a big deal when it comes to leadership. I see a lot of people that want to be leaders, and I don't see a lot of people that want to be followers. I think the whole thing about leading is like the quality of my leadership stems from how good of a follower I am, a learner,
yeah,
a leaner, a student, absorbing information, do my best to follow. Of course, for us, we are first Jesus followers. We mm-hmm. focus on our following of who we think the best leader in the whole world is in the history of the world, Jesus. And I'm always challenged to follow him closer, follow him a little bit better.
Yeah.
I get scared with that thought of, in the Bible, it talks about how Peter, at the very end there, followed Jesus at a distance.
Mm.
And the scary thought there is that you could, at one point, be close to the vision, close to the leader, really being effective, and then somehow slide back and get far away from it.
Right.
And I always think leaders that get there, they're close enough to say they're there, but they're far enough to not be associated.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really tricky thing in leadership. It's like, how do I stay close to my leader, to the vision? How do I keep leaning in? That's why I like that idea. The idea of leaning in, because we lean into whoever leans into us.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And I think that as a leader, you can't ever separate sowing and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
If I sow that, I'm going to reap that.
Mm.
How do I get someone to lean into me? Well, I first lean into them. Friendship's right, the same.
Yep.
He who desires friends must he himself first be friendly. It always starts with me. So I kind of like this idea. By the way, just side note, I just want to bring up something I think we got to be careful as leaders. It's this whole thought of quiet quitting.
Yikes.
I'm really into this thought right now. That people rarely walk up to you and go, I quit on you. I quit on you. I'm out. I'm done. But they quit quietly.
Yeah.
Right.
And then by the time that they're this far down the road, they maybe will let you know. But few people do.
Wow.
Few people have the, I don't know if it's a lack of confidence. I don't know if it's being afraid of conflict. I don't know what happened in our culture, but I find that there's so many people that just quietly stop serving, stop leaning in, stop giving. I think at the end of the day, we say this all the time, leadership is communication.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be a leader, you've got to do a good job of communicating. I feel this. I'm on this journey. I'm feeling this way. But in culture, this whole thing, quiet quitting is so crazy to me. It's so prevalent. Are you guys seeing this?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's interesting because maybe I'm not in the same position as you are, where you're seeing a lot of, you're overseeing, I think, a very wide circle.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of different angles. I feel like it's an interesting thing when there's a smaller group of people that you are kind of overseeing. And maybe I don't personally feel like I've experienced a lot of that. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, no, I definitely see it all the time. And, you know, maybe in this context, it shows up like, hey, I haven't seen this person for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
they're
what
usually
I mean.
At events like this, or they're usually a part of this. Hey, I noticed that they stopped sending text messages. They used to send me a text a day. You know, I think in friendships, it's like, hey, this person stopped inviting me to things that they used to invite me to, or they've said no to an invitation a few times, but they haven't given any context to it.
Yeah,
and I think, I don't know what it is, but the first ones, I see it start to happen in our context when they're not willing to come early or stay late. Mm. They just show up to get something.
Minimums.
Minimums. Yeah. Right?
I'm thinking about a couple of years ago, we have someone that we know, really, really sad. You know, their marriage ended. She let him know via text. Hey, I'm on my way to X. I left a note by her bedside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she quit a long time ago.
That's right.
Quiet quitting to me is dangerous because it's like, I'm quitting, but I'm not letting you know. Does that make sense?
It's the whole thing. People are gone before they're gone.
Yeah. That's it.
And it's like, you know, if you would have had the conversation when you first started feeling that way, first of all, maybe you would never leave.
Yeah.
Mm. Second, it's like, maybe instead of leaving, you get sent.
There you go.
Blessed on the way out.
And there you go.
Oh, man, this is right that you're going.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, but you remove all opportunities for that. When you just walk out the door when everyone else is facing the other way.
That's exactly right. Yeah, when we talk about being a good follower, I got to fit this in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think following has this ability of, like, we look at Peter here. Peter, to me, is a prime example. How did he get to quitting on Jesus or denouncing him, denying him? There were some things going on before, clearly. But the further he fell back in that thing, the easier it was to be like, I don't know that guy.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Wait, well, hold on. Wait. The whole thing is getting built on you. That's what he said.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, so we changed your name, bro. Mm. Now you don't even know us?
Wow.
It's crazy.
That slide. Yeah. So I think just a couple of thoughts for us to, you know, develop, you know, a good ability to follow. Number one, we got to ask ourselves a question. Who or what do you follow? Because we all follow someone. We all follow something. We have to admit, I love this about being a leader. The more I'm around great leaders, the more that I aspire to be a good leader, the more I understand, oh my gosh, we are all impressionable.
Yeah.
We are all under the influence of others. And so the whole thing about being a great leader to me is choose your influences wisely.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, you got to be careful. Even David, and there's a story about David. He's talking about, you know, the influence of this priest, the influence of this prophet. You know, he could stir it up this way. And they said what? They said, who? Huh? Who are you listening to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you following? You've got to identify that and choose it and go, like, I want to be like this person.
Yep.
I was thinking back when I was about 20 to 24, about 4 years, every Tuesday I was working in El Monte on the east side of LA. And I was young, or early in ministry. And every Tuesday, I would go to Longo Toyota. Shout out to Longo Toyota. About the nicest thing in that area at the time, in the early 2000s. And it had this, it felt like you were at an airport, this Toyota dealership. Jeez. And it had this nice Starbucks in there. And I would take, it was the first time I had a MacBook Pro. And every Tuesday at noon, I would open up my MacBook Pro. I would order a sandwich. And I would have lunch with Pastor Wayne.
Love that.
And I would watch Pastor Wayne's message from 2 days before. And I take notes on not just what he was saying, but how he was saying things. I created a whole key, a template on preaching, watching him.
It's actually the preaching key I use to this day.
I still use it to this day.
You gave it to me, yeah.
Yeah, because I'd go, oh, he used a stat there. He used history there. He used a cultural reference there. He used a movie reference. He used lyrics to a song. He used a quotable quote, which is a quote that someone could put in their pocket. He used a Jesus story there. He used a life example there. Mm. He used a big picture, like in the big picture of things. He used a word picture, their imagination, and I created this key. But every Tuesday I did this, and I chose him as someone I wanted to be like. And I would start to mimic him. He would preach in these Tommy Bahama shirts. I'm here in East LA preaching in Tommy Bahama shirts. like Rick Warren and Wayne Cordero wearing these Tommy Bahamas. I'm wearing Tommy Bahama.
Yeah.
Love it.
I started to act like him and talk like him. I'll never forget when I finally left that church in that city. I was going back to the Seattle area. One of the youth in the group, they made this video montage for me saying goodbye. And one of the like youth leaders, he said, "Guys, never forget, Chad Veach is becoming more and more like Wayne Cordero every single day." And everybody laughed because they knew it. Because I was showing them all his content.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My point is, who are you following?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's the influence in your life?
Right.
Because you've got to choose some heroes. You got to choose some voices. You got to choose some people that you're like, I believe in mentoring from a distance. Mm-hmm. I might not have ever met you, but man, I've read all your books. I've got all your content. When you find somebody that you love how they talk and think, it's like, I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
And if you do that and you become a good follower, I think you could teach other people how to follow.
Yep.
If you don't do that, right, you're going to ask people to follow, and they're like, "You don't even show me what that looks like."
Yep. Totally.
You don't set an example of what submission, following, listening, learning, reading. You know, I that's why I think like the whole thing: freely have received, freely you give.
That's right.
That's what leadership is. I'm following. I'll show you how to follow.
That's good.
So good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love how you say you have to intentionally choose and you have to really pursue that leadership in your life. Because I think, you know, sometimes we're in places in life where we have options of people who, like Pastor Wayne for you, you know, you knew him. He was your friend's father. And then there's some people who it's an author, a speaker. And it's not always someone really right close to you who is convenient.
Right.
And so seeking that out, pursuing that is so important.
That's right.
I remember when I first got into investments, I'm not like a big investments guy, but yeah, you know, one of the things that I learned is like you have to interrogate the companies you're going to invest in.
Mm. That's right.
You know, you have to look at the longevity of their profitability, you know, all that stuff to make a good investment. And that's easy for us to do maybe in finances, but for our own influences, the people that we let invest in us, it's like, are we doing the due diligence to go like, is what influencing me going to have an investment later on in my life?
That's right.
Have you heard of this phrase, algorithm hacking on TikTok now?
No. Mm-mm.
So I saw this TikTok, and you know, the guy's like, "Hey, your TikTok algorithm is the best in the world." Like, you know, you're on TikTok and everything you look at it, you like, "Oh man, this is so
mean." Yeah.
He's like, "So now I have three accounts and I have a finances one and I hacked it. So it only gives me the best finances stuff."
Wow.
And then I have a fitness one. And he's like, this is the kind of the next phase of his. He's like, if I'm going to be out on screen, I'm going to learn from hacking my investments. Who's influencing me? It's super, you know, I dislike the ones I don't like, you know, all that stuff. I was like, that's a really interesting way to learn something new.
I tell you what, there's nothing that I love more than on TikTok, clicking it and going, not interested.
Yes. Wow. Like, why is it so satisfying?
It's so satisfying. Yeah. I do not want to see. There's this one guy. He's like an NFL guy. I think, you know, anyways, long story short. And every time he comes up, I'm like, not interested. I don't want to see him. I'm not interested. I'm sure he's a great guy, but not for me. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. But I think it's really important that you identify who is going to be voices in my life.
That's right.
If you don't decide that, people that you do not want to be influencing you are going to be influencing you. Mm-hmm. So it's just identifying, going like, this is who I want to be like. This is who I want to follow. This is what I want to sound like or look like or come across like. This is the type of material that I'm really interested in. Identify who you want to follow. Hey, guys, you know it'd be fun?
What?
If we factored in an ad right here.
Wow.
Whoa.
Not all podcasts do a great job with ads. But I think they're missing it because they don't, like, actually use the product.
Yes.
Yeah. Unlike us, when we record pods, we factor in what it would be like. Oh, let me unpack this one right here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening on audio, we are unpacking. This is a meal prep service called Factor. Oh, very cold.
Ice pack.
Yeah, I'll take the ice pack.
Okay, guys, look at this one. We've got over here, this is a chef-prepared vegan mushroom marsala.
This is going straight.
That's going, you're going to have it.
Yes, that sounds great.
These are wellness shots. We're about to have a shot.
Oh, let's go.
Break that open for us. We're about to have some shots. This is a vegetarian tamale bowl.
I'll take that. Wow. They're giving us one of everything, I think.
Okay, this is a, chorizo chili.
Ooh.
Don't tell Julia. We're eating. This is what we're having tonight as a family. This is jalapeno lime cheddar chicken. My point is, this stuff is delicious. We've got a bunch of. Oh yes, give me one of these.
You want
this
apple, ginger, lemon, cayenne?
That's exactly what I want.
That's all I was going for.
That's
too.
Exactly what I want.
Wait, you have that name?
Okay.
Wow.
So we are factoring in how important this is. By the way, everybody needs to go to Factor? What is the website?
We've got it for you guys. Head to factormeals.com/lean50 and use code lean50 and get 50% off, guys. What? It's factormeals.com/lean50 to get 50% off. That is the best deal I've ever heard.
50% off.
50%.
Hey, you know what I got? I got a cheers to that. Let's factor in more factor in our life. Cheers, mates.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay. Bop, bop.
Okay, bop, bop. Yeah, exactly. Here we go.
Whoa, I couldn't do it all.
Oh, that is good.
Wait, that's actually so good.
That is so good.
This is not fake. This is the most appetizing ginger shot I think I've ever had.
Let's go.
I don't know if I told you guys this. Every morning, Julia has AG1. It's every morning.
It's amazing.
And then every morning she asks me, she goes, "Do you want me to make you one?" I go, "Absolutely." So this is aging. We drink our greens together.
Wow.
Now, I'm a big fan of the AG1 with the orange juice. Oh. She likes it with the water. Wow. But nevertheless, we drink AG1 together every day. I think every leaner should have it. April, tell them, where can they go to get this product?
We've got the deal for you. And you can go to drinkag1.com/LLI. And when you do that, you're going to get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5
Love
free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase.
Would you say that those who AG1 together?
Okay, let's get back to the pod. That's enough. The second thing today, the content you consume becomes the content you create. I just love this thought. What I put into me is what's coming out of me.
Yeah.
I'm always saying, you know, I just saw this video. You know, I just watched this video. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a video the other day. You know, because I'm consuming content.
Yeah.
And what I put in me, that's what comes out of me. And I think for me, I'm a big daily Bible reading diligent person. This has kind of just been my MO for the last 24 or so years. I've just, this morning I do it. Every morning I wake up, make my coffee, and I do my reading. And it's my favorite part of the day, and it's my non-negotiable, and it's what keeps me sane and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it's what keeps me going.
Yep.
And it's my favorite thing to do in all of the world is read the Bible. But I understand that if I put something good in my heart, and I keep storing that up, that I've got something good to say. And I've got something good to say that's not from like 2014 or 2020. It's something like I read today, I read yesterday.
Wow.
the content. I just believe this as a leader. You cannot give away what you do not have.
Yep.
And Jesus said, an evil man will store up evil things in the treasure of his heart, but a good man will store up good things in the treasure of his heart. Then he said, out of the abundance of what you've been putting in here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I cannot ever escape this. What I put in me, that's what's coming out of me. And so if I want good things to say, wise words, healing words, kind words, faith words, hope and life. If I want that coming out of me, I got to put that in me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't sell the Kool-Aid. I drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just a seller. I'm a user. And so you got to decide for you, what kind of content do you want to put in front of your eyeballs? What kind of content do you want to put in front of your ears? I'm very particular about my ears. In fact, when I start hearing like gossip or stuff, I was just like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't cussing. Like, I just, anytime I put in, I'm searching for music, I always put clean, radio edit.
Yeah.
I can't listen. My ears are very sensitive that way. I know that stuff that you put in you is what comes out of you. And as you're following and you're leaning in, make sure you're following somebody that you want that wisdom in you.
Yeah, that's good.
You want that strength, that life. I love that scripture. It says, faith comes from hearing. Mm. And the more that I hear well, the more that I... If you don't like the words that are coming out of your mouth, just examine the heart that you're living with.
Yeah.
Jeez. Can I highlight something that you said the other day? And I don't even know if you realize you said it, but you voiced something, maybe not negative, but not the way you wanted to look at something. You said, hold on, I need to change the way I say that because the way I say it is what I'll eventually believe about it.
That's exactly right.
And I heard you say that, and I was like, that's one thing to say on a podcast, but to see you do it live in action is like, oh, so that's how you apply that in everyday life.
Yeah, because, you know, I get really, this is a big deal to me. Especially when talking about myself.
Mm. Mm, that's great.
I really believe the way that you talk about yourself matters. Mm. If I speak into, that's why I don't believe, like, I love self-deprecating humor. Did you see Shane Gillis in his opening monologue at SNL?
Yeah.
That was that's been a whole cultural thing, right?
Yep.
And self-deprecating humor to a degree is always funny. But I will not bash myself.
Yeah.
And I will not be mean to myself. Because I believe how I talk about myself matters more than what anybody else says about me.
Yeah.
And how I talk about my children, I'm so big on this. The other day I was eating with a friend of ours in the church, and he was talking to me about, to this day, this is a grown man, very successful guy. He says, to this day, when I open my laptop, I can still hear my parents talking about my brother is smart, but I'm the athlete.
Mm.
He goes, so my parents, when I was growing up in class, they go, so-and-so's the smart one, but Matt is my friend Matt. He's the athlete. So that's not his gift.
Wow.
And just that seed is still inside of this grown man who is incredibly intelligent and incredibly successful.
Hmm.
And so even when I talk about my sons, about sports, people say, oh, you know, Winston's the athlete. I say, no, they're all athletes.
Mm.
These boys are athletes. Oh, my gosh. You know, Maverick is a reader. Yeah, but you should see Winston read.
Yeah.
This man can read.
That's good.
I protect what I say. It's such a big deal. And I think that's why you need to have daily affirmations, things that you get into your heart about life and leadership and the view. I love living from even the thought of gratitude, being grateful. The more I air that out, the more that starts getting in the air and it's like, oh, I believe that. But if I don't consume a bunch of stuff, that's why I love that song, Gratitude. Come on, my soul.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, we got something to praise about. And all of a sudden, because I'm putting that in me, it's what's coming out of me. And I think that's what makes you be able to overcome circumstances that are less. Times that are dry, times that are hard, times that everybody else would throw in the towel and just talk negative or toxic. It's like, no. We can't stay there. Here's the third and last one. This is from James Clear. The question is not, do you want to be great at this? The question is, what are you willing to give up in order to be great at this? Let me say that again. The question is not, do you want to be great at this? The question is, what are you willing to give up in order to be great at this? So I know you want to be a great leader. I know you want to be great in your field. I know you want to be great in your industry. That goes without saying. The truer and the greater question is, what are you willing to give up in order to be great at this? Because you're going to have to give up some TV time. You're going to have to give up some time on your phone. You're going to have to give up maybe some social events. You're going to have to give up some money to go attend that conference. You're going to have to give up to grow up. Mm. You cannot go up until you give up. And that's just the bottom line. The more I surrender and the more I... And by the way, the more responsibility I have, the less rights I have.
Yeah.
I don't have the right to sleep in. I don't have the right to do whatever I want. I don't have the right to run my own schedule. I'm under great responsibility. Why? Because I gave up a lot of my rights so that I could say yes and sign up to a bunch of responsibility. The more that I'm okay with that, the more I can be great at something.
Love that.
That was just all... Bars.
Bars. The bar, me and Nate looked at each other and said, you have to give up to grow up. We went,
and you can't go up until you give up.
So good. And then we just start rapping.
but think about that. Yeah. Every time you've gone to another level in your leadership, I guarantee it's because you sacrificed something. Mm.
Yeah. I think immature leaders are obsessed about finding something to add as if that thing will, you know, catapult them.
Right.
You know, they're looking for the program. They're looking for the message. I got to go to this thing. I got to sign up for that thing. But really, it's editing the things in your life that are distracting you from really what's important.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And I love post his career and then even after his death, we've got so much Kobe Bryant content.
Yeah.
And the more Kobe Bryant stories that come out and the more Kobe Bryant content, we don't find a bunch of skeletons and demons and controversy and issues. All we hear is a work ethic, sacrifice, work ethic, work ethic. Well, how did you get to be that great? Well, you just worked really hard. And so the question is not, do you want to be great? I know you want to be great, Kobe, but if you want to be the best ever, in fact, I was listening to some podcasts and some guys were saying, you know, our generation's Jordan is Kobe. Mm. Because, you know, nobody that we've ever seen struck fear in our heart like Kobe did. Mm-hmm. That guy didn't strike fear in our heart. That guy didn't strike fear in our heart. But when we face Kobe, there's a dog. He's coming to kill us.
Yep.
I have some friends that played pickup with Kobe one time, and they're telling me that guy just, all he wanted to do was win. It's like a shark, being around a shark. Mm. So I know you want to be great. Of course you want to be great. Everybody wants to be great. If being great was easy, everybody would be great.
There would be no great people.
Think about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
The question is not if you want to be great. It's what are you willing to give up? And I just see... I see them as big boulders, like these big issues. Like, let's take, I'm trying to think of one that I could, you know, relate. Let's say shopping. You know, just being able to spend whatever you want. Okay, if you want to build wealth, you just got to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Dave Ramsey goes, you show me a driveway that has two cars that are like $900 payments each per month, I'll show you a family that'll never build wealth.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to be great at sports. You want to be great at business. You want to be great at teaching. You want to be great at fill in the blank. A lot of work.
That's right.
A lot of sacrifice. And I like that. I like that ability to go, I want to be the best follower. Okay. I want to follow with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to follow a guy named Jesus. What am I willing to give up to follow Jesus?
That's great.
Because if I don't give up my idols and I don't give up my enjoyment of this, that, and the other, I'll probably put those things inadvertently in front of him. Mm. And he's so clear. He's like, you just can't have two masters, man.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. You're going to eventually, you're going to hate one and you'll love the other.
Yeah.
So I know we're talking about following today. And my hope is that we don't create just these leadership gurus. It's kind of like right now, you get on social media, this is my algorithm maybe, or just who I follow. I get on, everybody got a mic like this.
Every single one.
Everybody got a mic.
Yep.
Everybody got some headphones and a mic talking. And I'm in there too, so I know I'm talking. I'm talking. And every day we posting, right? Talking. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, hold on. Let's make one thing really clear. What are we actually talking about?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
We are first talking about following, and from the strength, it's like, where does your strength come from? My strength comes from my soul. My strength comes from my identity. My strength comes from being under authority. My strength comes from being submitted. My strength comes from first knowing I'm a follower of a greater example, and I'm just a carbon copy. I'm just a mimic of the greatest.
Yep.
So I am not the answer. I am following the answer, and I'm doing my best to say, hey, to the best of my interpretation and maturity and ability, I'm trying to follow this guy, and I'm going to do my best to live at a rate and a level you can follow me, but I'm going to point you to the better example.
Yep.
That, to me, is what it's all about. Thank you for liking. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for your comment. We're at 146. We're about to be at 150. We got t-shirts coming out when we hit 150. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.